Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Listen, we're not going to let our good young players go. I mean, that let me just tell you that. I think he's a really good player. We got to try to figure out how to keep him. I've admired him from afar, really talented, and I can't wait to talk to him and meet him.
If you missed our interview with GM George Payton, you can find it at 1043thefan.com. We will replay the entire thing after 5 o'clock. And that was his comments about Justin Simmons. So again, if we had to read between the lines on Justin Simmons, reading between the lines, what do you think, what would your takeaway be?
You know, he certainly didn't guarantee he was just going to give him a Brinks truck and more, but it certainly sounded like, hey, this is priority number one. He was very optimistic. Everything else that he answered, he was guarded in his in the nature of his response to us. Mm-hmm. And this one, that was unfiltered. It was real. It was authentic. Hey, man, Justin Simmons is a dang good football player, and we're not in the business of letting those guys go. I would expect the Broncos are going to do everything in their power, and they're probably going to offer him a first-class type of deal.
I'm going back, and we asked him quite a bit about Drew Lock too. All right, let me start there, and then I can go to his press conference earlier. What did you think is about his response about Drew Lock?
Oh, yeah. I mean, between his presser earlier today and his responses to us, it's very, very clear that he sees a lot of inconsistencies in Drew Lock's game, and he's not ready to say that this is our guy. I mean, I didn't hear him saying I'm going to replace Drew Lock, because I think he recognizes that it's not that simple, nor is it that easy. Even if he wants to replace Drew Lock, there's no guarantee that he can. He could chase Deshaun Watson, but there's no guarantee he could get that deal done, nor is there any reason why we should believe that Deshaun Watson would choose to come to the Broncos. He could try to go after somebody in the draft, try to trade up, but there's no guarantee he's going to be able to get that deal done. So I do think that it's clear, and I don't think we have to read between the lines on this. I think it's very, very clear that he's not convinced that Drew Lock is the guy.
Yeah.
The question is whether he can replace him or not in his first offseason.
Do we think he's going to kick the tires on Deshaun Watson? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's probably going to be like 20 general managers that are going to kick the tires.
Right, right.
But as we talked with Adam Schefter earlier, Deshaun Watson's going to have a say in it if it even happens.
Well, he has a no-trade clause, so
right.
you literally cannot trade Deshaun Watson to anybody without his approval.
So it's going to be on Deshaun Watson. Now, how much does he really want to get out of there?
Yeah, I think he does, and I think he would be motivated to move on, but the problem is there's going to be a lot of options out there, so it's not whether he's motivated to move on.
They're only going to be the options that the Texans present to Deshaun Watson.
No, that's not true.
Going to hear about.
That's definitely not true. His agent, trust me, every team that is interested in Deshaun Watson is going to go to Deshaun Watson first.
All right.
They're not going to go through the Texans. They're going to try to convince Deshaun and his team that we are the right spot for you, so you go talk to the Texans and get this deal done.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. The agents are supposed to get approval. Now, once the team gives the agent approval to go seek a trade, they absolutely can have whatever conversations they want. Now, even without said approval, it always happens.
Okay.
Now, you don't go to the player, but you go to the agent.
All right, so there's some shady, there's conversations that can happen behind the scenes.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's up to the Texans if they present the deal. If it's the Texans are well within their rights to keep Deshaun Watson. They don't have to do anything. He's under contract. I think depending on how Deshaun Watson feels about things, the chance of getting multiple first-round picks doesn't come along every day. But
yeah.
Then again, neither does a 25-year-old franchise quarterback.
I suppose technically what Adam Schefter told us is true, that the Texans could just squat on him. They won't. They won't do that. That would be a terrible move for their franchise. They would get nothing out of it. Deshaun Watson would sit it out for whatever time it's going to take. And it would be just a terrible PR look for an organization that has had issues with their players calling them out for social issues and everything else. Mm-hmm. It just, boy, would that not go over well out there.
Would we love to have Deshaun Watson. I heard Mike and Mark talk. Yeah, of course. Would we give up 3 first-round picks? Probably. I think that's probably going to be the going rate. But why in the world would Deshaun Watson want to be here? I mean, well, compared to Miami. See, I think Miami, Miami is like...
I don't know that Miami is that big of a step up from us. I mean, is it a marginal step up? Probably. Not that big, though. I mean, for Deshaun, if he's looking at this young nucleus on offense and he's looking at the wide receivers, he likes Jerry Jeudy, he likes Cortland Sutton, he likes Noah Fant, he likes Albert Okwuegbunam. I mean, there are selling points that you could try to sell him on. The bigger question is the stability with the head coach, and he's probably going to choose a head coach and a system that's been in place that it feels stable.
Yeah, I don't know how we compete with Miami.
I mean, the teams, okay, you got to separate the teams that are interested versus the teams that would actually give up 3 first-rounders, right? Mm-hmm. How many teams are interested in Deshaun Watson? 20. 25. And I mean, seriously,
right.
How many teams are actually willing to give up 3 first-rounders? Well, those are going to be all the terrible teams. Those are going to be all the teams that are in similar company to the Denver Broncos. The New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins feel like those would be the most appealing destinations for Deshaun.
Right.
But I don't think that the Dolphins really feel like, I don't think it's that better of an option than the Broncos. Why is it that much better?
For Deshaun?
Sure.
He's probably got a better familiarity with Miami than Denver.
Oh, why do you say that?
It's Miami.
So, I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe he's a cowboy. Maybe he likes to, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know really much about, I mean, he went to Clemson. I mean, he's from,
sure.
You know, the South. He spent time in the Southeast.
Okay, but I don't think you're going to make your decision based off location. You're going to make your decision based off the football situation.
I don't know. Got me. You know, I'd have to go through it. I mean, I would just put it strictly the fact that Miami looks like a playoff team and the Broncos don't right now. How about that?
That's fair enough. I mean, that's fair enough. Sure.
That team's already winning right now. They got a great defense.
They're on the upswing. They had a good year. They had an exciting year. And
there's a lot of similarities to Miami as to the way the Broncos were set up when Peyton came here. Like, the defense is actually looking pretty great, and we need some, offensive help. Never mind the fact that you're Deshaun Watson. Wherever you go, there's going to be free agents that'll want to follow you there.
That's right. That's right.
So, okay. And I don't know what the cap situation there in Miami is as well. I don't know. Listen, man, if George Peyton can pull off a deal and get Deshaun Watson here in Denver, I don't know who is going to be down on that.
Oh, that's a good point. This is dumb on my behalf. Tyler, why would Watson choose the Pats when he hates everything going on in Houston because of the Patriots?
There
that's
you
good.
Go.
You know what? That's a good point.
That's
that
a
is.
Good point.
That is a great point.
All right, we'll get more of your texts and more of our reaction to our interview with George Payne coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
We're here to care for you safely. Learn more at Centura.org/ER.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Good Times, all natural burgers and frozen custard.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Well, he hasn't been here long enough to get the meatballs yet. You know, he's got to prove his worth before he gets meatballs. But he's well on his way there, so he just had a regular steak dinner the other night.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, now he's eating steak.
Now he's eating steak? So, wait, when you have somebody over the house, now you eat steak? Now? That's a funny response. That's funny. Vic, I guess, had him over for dinner and made him some George Payton some food. And
he hasn't been here long enough to get the meatballs yet. You know, he's got to prove his worth before he gets meatballs.
Okay.
Right. Right.
All right. That was funny.
That was good. That was great. I mean, that's why people like him.
You know, let me just play. You know what? Let's see if I can do this here. The quarterback stuff. So here is George Payton. Then I'm going to play Elway. But here's what George Payton said about Drew Lock.
You know, I like Drew coming out of the draft. You know, big arm, athletic, playmaker. You know, I haven't studied him. I haven't got into a lot of tape. I've only been here 4 days. You know, I've watched enough tape to know that he's talented. He can develop. But I can't comment on your second question because of that.
Okay, the future. Here's what John Elway said.
I'm still high on Drew. I think he's got the physical abilities to do it. I think that this year was essentially his rookie year. I think he was put behind the eight ball with everything that went on with COVID, with no offseason, especially with a young, you know, with a young offense, a new offensive coordinator. So I think that, you know, it was not by any means an ideal situation for Drew. But I think that, you know, by any means, you know, I'm going to say that, obviously, we're going to continue to look at that position. You always are, and look at opportunities that you have. And George will go through that whole process. And then if there's an ability for us to get better in that position, better than we think we have, then I think George will make that decision. But I think there'd be a lot of thought that goes into it. But I think,
you know, we should all be rooting for Drew Lock to actually still work out, by the way. Because financially, you can do so many other things if you don't have to pay a high-priced quarterback. The Deshaun Watson stuff, by the way, people on the text line are relentlessly pointing out there's no state income tax in Florida.
That's a big deal. That's
yeah.
a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure it is.
The first thing to look at is money and then look at everything else. And that's a huge thing. So the other thing is like the Matt Stafford deal. Now, that Detroit situation was kind of interesting. They were thinking about Matt Campbell from Iowa State. They landed on Dan Campbell from the New Orleans Saints. And to me, as soon as I heard Dan Campbell was there, I was like, oh, forget it. There's no way an NFL guy is going to, as a first-time head coach, move on from Matt Stafford. That's insanity.
Well, Dan Campbell is an old-school guy, man. I mean, he's a player. He knows what it's like to be in the locker room. He knows what it's like to have a veteran presence at the quarterback position. Players always default towards veterans. They always trust the veterans. And he's a guy that the locker room really, really loves. When he took over there in an interim role in Miami, man, people had nothing but amazing things to say about his leadership capabilities. So when I heard he was taking the job, I, too, felt the exact same thing that you just said. That's it. I mean, Matt Stafford, he's sticking around. There's no way that Campbell's going to look at Matt Stafford and say this team is better off without him.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we were getting some, you know, great stuff.
Oh, they don't like Kevin Kistner. They don't like me. They don't like Chad Brown. They are not happy.
I mean, we do not know who Chad Brown is.
Despite Chad's incredible, I almost said incrappable. That is
wow.
Terrible. Yeah. Incredible reporting. You know, Chad's just speculating on what he heard. Things can change. They have a new GM. They have a new coach. I don't know, man. I guess you can kick the tires on it, too, but I wouldn't hold your breath. So I certainly wouldn't hold your breath on Deshaun, although it would be great. I wouldn't hold your breath on Stafford, which wouldn't be as great as Deshaun, but I get it. It'd be cool. So both those guys just aren't a possibility, Tyler. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's why I said that he might have his mind made up that Drew Lock is not done enough to be considered the franchise guy, yet he still might not be able to replace him.
Right.
It's not easy. You know, I survived a long time in the NFL, and it's not because there weren't guys that were better than me. It's because it's not that easy to find better players on a year-in, year-out basis. You have to have the right situation. You got to be a little bit lucky with your draft spot. You got to be a little bit lucky with your cap situation if you're going after a free agent. I mean, just the stars have to align to go get a guy like this, and that's what made Kirk Cousins so unusual.
Right.
He was the unicorn of free agent starting quarterbacks because teams don't give these guys up.
So now, with Pat Shurmur as your offensive coordinator, Vic Fangio as your coach, and Vic Fangio definitely is, you know, and he said it. He was honest because it was a question like, hey, how do you feel about this guy who could fire you?
Right, right.
And Vic was like, well, you know, it's the NFL. It's a year-to-year business.
Sure.
And again, he's right. He's been through this ringer a million times. That's an honest answer. Now you say, and I looked at a bunch of mocks. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, it's Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. At 9, if you stay at 9, you are making a decision between Trey Lance. Did I say Trey Lance? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't say Trey yet, but it's really...
Trey Lance, Zach Jones.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, Trey Lance.
Oh, Mac Jones isn't going that high.
Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
Well, those are your choices.
Yeah, I would agree. Right. I mean, I think it would really come down to Trey Lance. He's about the only one that's going to fit into that category at number 9.
Can you see Trey Lance? We both now looked at him. There's potential there. He may be a tall Kyler Murray, which would be amazing. But can you imagine Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio going in that direction? I mean, that literally makes no sense.
No, and Trey Lance does not fit the mold of a Pat Shurmur quarterback.
No!
He just doesn't fit the mold. He's a running guy. He's a guy that you want to design quarterback runs around. He's not a shotgun. Matt Stafford's actually perfect for a Pat Shurmur offense. I mean, honestly, of all the guys that we've talked about, Matt Stafford fits the bill of who could run a Pat Shurmur offense the best. But Trey Lance, you got to look at him and you would say, well, I can't tell you that he's better than Drew Locke. So that's why you don't move on. That's why you get right in a situation where you say, yeah, we would like to get better. Yes, we understand that he's got inconsistencies, but it's not that easy to replace him.
So then the two guys that are left after all that are Kyle Trask and Mac Jones. And you can see where Drew Locke is going to get another shot, a legit shot. And they will bring
Maybe.
In.
I mean, nothing is holding you back from trading up and going to get Zach Wilson, though.
That is true. You are correct. What is it? Aggressive but not reckless.
Right. I mean, moving up from 9 to 3, 9 to 4, that's not reckless. That's aggressive. That's not reckless.
Here's what we should hope for. Here's what we should hope for is that, and I, you know what? Hang on. I'll give you a hot take
All
based
right.
on that, and we'll kick off Hot Take Tuesday next. Plus, the hockey guys. We got breaking Avalanche news. That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, we'll get to Hot Take Tuesday in just a second. I'll tell you why you can keep some hope. I'll kick off Hot Take Tuesday myself. But hockey guys.
Yeah, hockey guys.
My son, who's a big hockey guy.
Make sure you get his name right, because we are the hockey guys.
Oh, I'm going to get it right, because I'm going to say it with confidence. But the Avalanche have acquired defenseman Greg Pattern. Let's go with me. In exchange for defenseman Ian Cole.
Oh, really?
Or as some of his friends call him, Ian.
That's only Eagle.
That's correct. That's Ian Eagle. Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe that's actually that dude's real name?
No, I'm still not convinced. I think it's kind of pretentious. I think it's, I think somehow that was like a DJ name.
I know. It's not, though. It's actually his real name. Even when we met him in college, it was like, damn, dude, you got a hell of a name.
Right.
Anyway, so there you go. Greg Pattern, Pattern. I think that's pronounced Peyton. And Ian Cole, man, we'll remember.
Do you know Greg's birthplace?
Greg
Pattern.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, Sterling Heights, Michigan. Because
I knew that.
The hockey guys, right?
I knew that.
Yeah,
I knew that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, my son Connor. That stinks for Ian. He was a good guy.
Your son knows Ian, huh?
Well, because my son hates the Wild. He hates the Wild. There you go. The guy we got at 3 points. Well, get defenseman, dude. We don't care. How many did Ian Cole have last year? We're the hockey guys.
He's only 30 years old, 6'3", 218 pounds, because we're hockey guys.
There you go.
Not reading this.
Oh. It was the right move, though. My son, he's giving me a whole breakdown now.
Son wants to be on air, huh?
It was the right move. We weren't re-signing him this offseason, and he's on the last year of his deal. The defenseman we got back, guess savings as cap space, probably won't play at all. Bo Byram and Connor Timmins are officially in the ring. My two cents is that Joe Sakic has done it again. Hey there! Come on! on now. I told you my kid's into it.
There you go. That's a hockey family.
Hell, he's talking about. All right. Hot Take Tuesday brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. Okay, here's my hot take. I think the Broncos fans, if they want to give themselves the best option at quarterback, should root for Deshaun Watson to go to Miami.
All right, break it down.
You got to move up if you're really interested in Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, right? That's what you just said. Those are the guys.
Right.
So you got to
They're not going to be there at nine.
No, you got to get to three. So if there's a deal with Houston and Miami, and part of that deal sends Tua to Houston with a bunch of first-round picks, and they're sitting there at three. Now you have Houston at three with a quarterback they may like, and now you can explore a trade with Houston to move from nine to three.
Why would Houston give that up, though? They need a quarterback.
We'd give them more stuff, though, too. Perhaps
I mean, if they're giving up Deshaun, they're going to want to draft a quarterback at three.
Not necessarily. Not if they get Tua.
I guess if they're into Tua.
And we would send them the pick and a receiver. You pick them. Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy.
All right. I mean, I think the Miami spot is a tradable the landing spot no matter what. No matter if that's Houston or Miami, that is a logical spot that you could trade into. Even if Miami sits there and they don't do anything, well, if they are still wanting to see more from Tua, absolutely that spot's available. So, you know, I get it. I follow your train of logic there.
All right, I get you too.
I don't think you need anything to happen to be able to trade into number three.
Right, like Miami still may be interested.
The only thing you need is that Miami still wants to see more out of Tua, that they still believe in him, that they still think he can be the guy.
See, that's what I don't know. If they didn't want it, now I've seen Penny Sewell train him Garrett Bowles. That sounds pretty wild.
Drafted the left tackle, Austin Jackson.
Yeah,
doesn't work.
Jerry Jeudy. Some weapons for Tua?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know what their situation is, what they would need, what we have that would be appetizing. You know, I mean.
Yeah, we'd have to dig into Miami.
I would have to really look at what their needs are.
Right. We know the needs in Houston are receiver, though. I mean, because they.
All that you need is a little bit of luck that they want to continue with Tua. And if they want to continue with Tua, bottom line is you can get there.
That's what
you need to know.
All right. I would say I would agree with you either.
I mean, if you gave them number nine in next year's first round, they've got so many first round picks Miami does between last year and this year.
Oh,
man, that they don't.
Would
they
you
don't
give
even,
up two firsts for.
To go get a quarterback? Sure.
You would?
You
give up two firsts for Justin Fields?
Yeah. I mean, that's not giving up two firsts. It's swapping one and
swapping
giving
one
up
and
another.
One.
Yeah. That's all. You're only giving up one. To go get a quarterback, you wouldn't give up a first rounder?
I guess
of course you would.
No, you're right. I guess you'd have to.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal for Miami if they think Denver's going to stink next year.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what they're betting on. Okay. All right. You got me encouraged a little bit.
I can't really buy into your hot take because I don't think that the Texans would be trading for Tua. They would just be trading Deshaun Watson because they had to. And maybe they believe in Tua, but more than likely, at number three, they're going to want to draft their next franchise quarterback.
See, a lot of the power does Deshaun Watson has to sign off on it, too.
Right.
So
yes.
Not it's complicated. You got to get it done, and it's got to be a place he would go. And seriously, when you take out the state income tax thing, I mean, what better place is there than Miami
That's
for Deshaun
appealing.
Watson?
That's a good situation. It's a good setup. I mean, They're on the rise.
Right.
They got a head coach that everybody respects.
Right.
By the way, holy cow, my teammate in Seattle, this undrafted guy who was just fighting for a roster spot, he got cut seriously nine times in one season when I was out there, Lemieux Jean-Pierre. He just got the offensive line job for Miami. I talked to him today, and I was like, dude, holy cow, congratulations. I had no idea that he was even, like, coaching like that.
Like the spot?
He got the spot, the head job.
Wow.
Right.
And you're stuck here with me.
I know.
And I don't know, it's driving you nuts.
I thought he was going to offer me the assistant job or something, seriously. But he didn't.
Your hot takes, 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com. Text line. Hot Take Tuesday is brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. Troy Rang joins us next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Man.
Our Denver 7 Broncos insiders, our good pal Troy Rang.
Brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, what were your takeaways from George Payton? By the way, we did talk to George Payton. We were lucky enough to be able to interview him. If you missed it, we'll have it just after 5 o'clock. But you were part of the Zoom call and got some questions in. What did you think overall, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, he lived up to the billing that I'd learned from those who know him best. He embraces the grind. He loves to work. He's a draft and development guy. He's also open-minded to innovation, to technology, to analytics. For me, he's what a modern-day GM should be. And he's also has zero ego. And I think that will serve him well as he gets started in this job. And then eventually, though, from the people I talk to and when I listen to him today, he's not going to be afraid to make tough decisions. And there's going to be some that are going to be difficult here in the next couple months. But I was impressed. At 25 years doing this, I've talked to people who thought he should have been a GM 10 years ago. So he's ready. Can he pull it off? I don't know the answer to that, but I don't know that he could be more ready.
After hearing his responses in regards to Drew Locke, what would you put the percentage odds at that Drew Locke is our starting quarterback next year?
Starter? I don't know. He'll be back, and there'll be competition. And after that, I don't know. I mean, Drew, they're not ready to move on from Drew, obviously. And while he kept an open mind and said, we'll continue looking at that position, he clearly wants competition at that position. And competition is a good thing. Tyler, you've lived it in the NFL. It's not necessarily great for the player, but it does make teams better when you have competition. And that's where he is with it. As Drew is a starter, I'm not ready to go there yet. I just don't have a better feel for that. But if we sit here today, my guess is Drew will have a very good chance to beat out a veteran that's brought in to protect them for injury and ineffectiveness. But will that grow from that to someone that could legitimately beat him out? That's the part I don't know.
You know, I thought it was interesting that he kind of went out of his way multiple times to not guarantee any time frames in regards to rebuilds, in regards to quarterback development, in regards to whatever. It felt to me like he views this job as it's going to take some time. Did you hear it the same way?
Well, he is smart, and he's done this. He's been in front offices long enough to know that when you put a timeline on it, you back yourself into a corner. And the easiest response is to say, hey, I feel like we can get this done, but I can't tell you exactly when. And that's what he said today. And he knows it's going to take time. I mean, without him even looking at this roster with a keen eye over several weeks, you don't end up 5-11 with two guys to get all pro votes and think that this thing's going to turn around quickly. Now, again, if you get Deshaun Watson, that's a different conversation, but he does need time. But he did, in fairness to him, Tyler, he said, you know, he has a 6-year deal, but you don't get 6 years. So I would think realistically in his mind, and my opinion only, that in that third year, that's when you would think that they were like back in the conversation as a contender and relevant again. The issue would then be, will that be with him on his second coach? Would that be with him on his second quarterback? Those are the questions we don't know the answers to today.
What did you take away from John Elway in terms of John's role moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I've felt all along John's ready to step away from this and that he's not going to meddle. I asked him that question about George Payton and the kind of the role, and he's like, I'm going to be a sounding board. And I know people roll their eyes at that, but I honestly believe that. I think he's ready to step away. He wants a different lifestyle. He wants to be able to travel, be with his grandkids, and not feel obligated and or guilty for not, you know, being on the football side of it 24/7. So I think he's going to be there for George Payton. But it was clear to me, he said probably 3 or 4 times, D-Mac, during the interview today, that's going to be George Payton's decision regarding the quarterback. That's going to be his decisions regarding Von Miller and Justin Simmons. He said that those words, those are going to be George Payton's decisions, and that he's just going to give him advice. But ultimately, Payton's going to make those decisions. And I think that's the case, honestly. And if otherwise, why do this?
Right.
And so I applaud Elway for stepping away, because there's no reason to bring in a fresh set of eyes if you're going to let Elway make the decisions. It's time for someone else to make the decisions.
You know, Payton said multiple times that it's going to be group effort, that every decision they make is going to be a group decision. It's not going to be a George Payton decision. Do you like that answer, or would you rather him say it's going to be my decision?
Well, here's why he says that, because in Minnesota, they bring everyone together and they talk about it, they discuss it, they research it, and everyone has a voice in the room, which hasn't necessarily been the case in the Broncos front office for the last several years. And then because of that, they take ownership of their roles, they work harder, they work better, and they feel like they're part of the process. But in the very final part, it's not a democracy. Someone has to make the decision, and that's George Payton. And that's how Rick Spielman's run his thing. He has people he leans on, but when you're the general manager, you're out front. So I would say, Tyler, it doesn't always work well this way, but the way George Payton has seen it work, and I've seen it work in sports, is if you give people a role and allow them to have ownership, it typically brings out the best in them when they feel like they're part of it. And when they are, they give you better information to make the right decision. But ultimately, it's George Payton's decision. I mean, if something fails, we're not going to say, man, that regional scout, boy, that's on him. It's not. It's the general manager. That's how these jobs work.
Yeah, that's how I felt when he talked. We asked him, and we'll play it coming up here, your to-do list. And the number one thing on his to-do list was watch tape. And the more that we find out about this guy, the more that I believe that. And that's who we got. You got a grinder. You got a guy who doesn't know how to do it any different. And whatever decision is made is going to be well-informed and well-thought-out. It's not going to be a shoot-from-the-hip sort of thing, which it has felt like here in recent years, Troy.
Yeah, there's no question. It's, you know, when John Elway was recruiting big-name free agents, that was his sweet spot. John Elway bringing in Tlaib, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware, Emmanuel Sanders, Peyton Manning. Like, that's the John Elway. That's the role for him. To rebuild and do a project like this, that's not John's strength. And I'm not saying that to be, that's just the reality. But this is who George Payton is. He is a guy that just literally, when he worked for the Dolphins in his second job in the NFL, he would watch film like 16 hours a day, every position on a team as an advanced scout, to come up with nuances of, here's what he does on his blitz, on his rush on second down. Here's what the linebacker, like, that's who he is.
Right.
That's who he's been since he was 30 some years old and 25 years into this business. He's not going to just suddenly change and say, hey, let's go get this guy. That's just not George Payton. But here's what I will tell fans. Because you grind and work hard, you should be good in the draft, which they were in Minnesota. That allows you to use the draft as resources to then be in on every deal, as he said. You can then at least have a conversation about Deshaun Watson. Maybe it isn't necessarily this year, but you can be in on big deals if you have a couple of good drafts, because you have resources now. You don't have to fill 6-7 spots every draft. You've got young guys in those places. You've got guys on second contracts. Mm-hmm. So now draft picks become the greatest currency to go make a deal.
All right, great stuff. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you later.
You got it. See you.
Troy Rank from Denver 7.
Brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, if Elway wants to be retired, why not retire? Why is he taking $6 million from the Broncos this year?
Wouldn't you? Why would you retire if you could get a free $6 million?
Like, when you were texting that to us, were you answering your own question as you hit send?
Right, right. I mean, and I get to go golf and I still get $6 million? Okay.
But listen, man, that's money I'm going to say has been well earned for a lifetime of contributing to the Denver Broncos. So I'm not going to begrudge John that at all. And he'll participate however he participates. Listen, the Broncos did a major thing, huge. You had your GM and your GM's right-hand man step down. And a lot of people thought, he's not really stepping down. That's not what we heard from the jump. From the jump, we heard that, no, heads up, this is really happening. He really is stepping away. And I think you've seen example after example of it.
Yeah, you know, you were all over this, and I'll definitely give you credit for it. The office issue in particular, you brought it up multiple times that you thought Elway was going to give up the office. And I didn't really know whether he was going to or not. And I got to say, that was a huge symbolic move from John Elway that just told the entire organization who is in charge.
Yeah, by the way, George Payton said, John, you can keep it.
Is that right?
Yeah, he didn't insist on it.
Mm.
And
but you know what?
John
it was the right thing to do.
Well, that was because John's decision.
It got rid of any cloud of mystery.
Yes.
It's just, it's gone. It's gone. This is George Payton's show.
Yeah, when I heard that Matt Russell had cleared out his office pretty quick. I mean, I get it. He retired and everything. But I guess I don't know. I thought he would sort of linger around for a little bit. Like, yeah, I'm going to retire. And, yeah, you know, once we get the new guy going up to speed. But it was like.
It was over.
It was like that. Like, oh, okay. And then there were just other little rumblings around. And listen, hey, man, good for John Elway. I think John Elway is going out with his head held high, total class, and just, it could not have been an easy decision. Nobody wants to go out in a bad spot, right? You always want to go out on top. You always want to go out with confetti.
I'm trying to think about what issue John Elway would want to put his foot down on. And honestly, I really can't even think of one. John was very supportive of Drew Locke today, but I don't even think that really meant all too much. I mean, John's on his way out the door. Drew was his guy. He drafted him. Why would he not speak glowingly of him? Why would he not say very kind things about him? He's on the way out the door.
Well,
you know?
Especially because there's a significant case that this is still going to be Drew Locke's team.
Well, sure. But what I'm saying is that's the one issue that I might come up that you would say John Elway would really try to influence it. I don't even think he would try to influence that one.
Oh, here's a fun hot take. Elway walks away for a few years, gives Payton the keys to only come back as an owner, and fires Payton if they stink. Now, I'll tell you that. You may be onto a little something there, and it may not just be with the Broncos, but you are onto a little something there. You can't be a direct employee of a team and be part of an ownership group. Here's what I actually don't know.
The clock doesn't start right now, though, because he's still an employee of the team.
But what is... Okay, that's where I was going. What is the clock?
You know, that's a huge mystery. I've heard 5 years, but don't hold me to that one. I've heard various reports on that, and I'm not sure what the official answer is.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's funny, after all... You know... I'd probably just reach out to Nikki. Oh, by the way, with Nikki and Washington football team, did you see who they're hiring as their GM?
Yes, I did. The former Panthers guy. What's his name?
Herney.
Gosh, help. Thank you.
The guy who just got fired by Carolina.
Right, right.
So Ron Rivera is hiring, like, his pal.
Right, yeah. It's a good old boy network, man. That's what the NFL is.
Isn't that crazy?
It's almost never mind. It's weird how... People just travel together. They just travel.
It's good to be part of the club sometimes. But I was actually surprised by that. That at the end of the day, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't have been.
That's the way the NFL works.
Right. Right.
People like to be comfortable. They like to be in a situation where they don't have to teach people what they need to be going out and looking for. They don't want to teach their coaches how to coach. They just like familiarity.
And so look what the Broncos just did. They went out. I mean, I think George Payton made it easy because he was a great choice. But they didn't know George Payton. I mean, the one person who probably knew George Payton better than anybody was Pat Shurmur. And that he wasn't part of the interview process. I'm sure Pat said nice things about him because everybody says nice things about George Payton. But again, I just say kudos to the Broncos. Now, they hardly were going after. It wasn't like a John Lynch hire. They weren't hiring somebody from the TV booth. By the way, Staley with the Chargers?
Wow, what a...
Are you kidding me? How did that happen?
I don't know anything about Staley as a football coach, nor as a human being. So it's really not fair for me to sit here and judge it. But holy cow, does that feel like a meteoric rise? I mean, are you kidding me?
He was coaching outside linebackers for the Broncos 2 years ago.
D-Mac, more than that, 3 years ago, right. He was coaching at John Carroll.
Right.
At John Carroll. Then he came to the Denver Broncos, coached a year or two with Vic Fangio. Became the defensive coordinator, and now he's the head coach of the Chargers.
That is insane.
You want to talk about I don't know the guy, but that feels like a very foolish decision for the Chargers. Get stability for Justin Herbert. Go get him somebody that's going to be an offensive guru,
right?
That's going to coach him for the rest of his career. And he's not going to have to worry about offensive scheme, turnover, new offensive coordinators. Goodness, this is a defensive guy. He might go through 3 new coordinators in the next 3 years.
I think there's only 2 jobs left.
Eagles and Texans, right?
Right. So the 2 guys that I thought were the biggest slam dunks were Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, about that.
And they're 2 jobs away from being shut out.
Looks like Bieniemy's probably waiting another year. He's still in the running for the Texans job, but right. I don't know why he would take the Texans job at this point. That is such a hot mess. Buy your time a little bit more and get the right situation.
I know why he would take it.
Well, if he knew that Deshaun Watson would want to stay, okay, that's why you would take it. And money, of course.
Yeah, but we keep hearing that the issue is with the owner, not...
Right. I mean, Adam Schefter told us today that if Eric Bieniemy were hired, that wouldn't change anything for Deshaun Watson.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. There it is.
Process, and I met with John and Vic and Joe. Like I said in my speech, there was a great connection. I thought we had similar visions. And then you look at the organization, you know, you look at the winning tradition, you look at the passionate fan base, and then just all the resources they have, you know, and that's all you can ask for, you know, is a chance to have a chance. And the Denver Broncos, they have tremendous resources and they have a really good infrastructure. So the more I dug in, the more I learned, the more I really wanted to, I wanted this job, man. This was a job I really wanted.
There you go. George Payton spoke to the media, and he spoke to us. We'll have that for you in just a second. But Tyler, overall, what's your reaction to George Payton?
George Payton sounded professional. He sounded like he's been around. It sounded like he's got 25 years of experience. He handled the media well. He wasn't nervous. It wasn't like a Vance Joseph type of situation where he was shaking in his voice. He sounded like he was in control.
Shaking his voice.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I remember Vance.
Things, of course.
I mean, that's exactly what it was with Vance Joseph. He wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
He felt like he was out of place. George didn't feel like he was out of place. I mean, we did learn some things today. We learned that if George Payton can replace Drew Locke, he's more than likely going to.
Well, let's get to it then, because we were lucky enough earlier today to speak to him. So this was our conversation with George Payton. We welcome to the show the new general manager of the Broncos on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, George Payton. George, wow, wonderful to have you on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, D-Mac. How are you?
I'm doing terrific, and Tyler Palumbas is here. How many people have nicknamed you the general over the years?
You know, yeah, quite a few over the years until I realized my name's Payton. But, you know, in class, you know, in high school, until – when they're taking roll, they'd always call me the general until they realized my last name was Payton. So, no, I'm good.
Well, you probably don't remember this, but I consider you the general because I once had a workout for you and you didn't give me a job. So I knew that you were the general then.
I remember, we should, you know, looking back, we should have signed you. My fault, Tyler.
Now, hold on. We had a debate about this. Do you really honestly remember Tyler working out for you? And if you don't, that's fine. But
Miami, Tyler, was it in Miami?
No. It was in Minnesota. It was I think it was 2011, if I remember correctly. And
I remember Tyler was a player, so, and I remember I worked him out. I just couldn't remember where.
Right, right.
Cherry Creek, you know, Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
There you go. There you go. All right. We're getting into Broncos stuff, but on a personal note, how old are your kids?
My son, Bo, is 12, and my daughter, Bella, is 14.
Okay. Tricky age. How did the conversation go with your kids, who, obviously, this is tricky. It's an opportunity you couldn't turn down. But how did that go? How did you and your wife talk to your kids about this move to Denver?
you know, we sat him down and talked to him one on one. My boy, we told him, he said, I'm ready to move. And I said this in my press conference. He said, I just want to bring Justin Jefferson with us. Can he come? And I said, no, but we have pretty good receivers in Denver, so you're going to be okay. And then he was fine. And my daughter, it took her a day or two. She's big into the dance. She's a ballerina, and she has a great theater company in Minneapolis. But then when she looked online and found one here, she's ready to roll. So they're really excited. And so is my wife.
Wonderful.
Well, George, there's obviously a lot of questions around here in regards to the quarterback situation and Drew Lock and what your opinion is going to be of him. I know you haven't been around long, but kind of curious, what were your thoughts on Drew Lock coming out of the draft? And as we sit today, what you have seen?
You know, I think like a lot of people, talented. You know, you like the size, you like the arm talent, the athletic ability. You know, he could do it all at times, a little inconsistent. And, you know, the little that I've seen of him this year, you see a lot of the same. You're intrigued with the talent. There's a lot there to develop, and, you know, we just got to see if we can get it out of them.
What is it like to have to make the decision, and you've done it both ways. You've been part of it both ways, draft and develop quarterback and free agent acquisition. So if you can, take us through that process of how you figure out, well, which is the right way to go in any particular situation.
Yeah, and first of all, it's not me. You know, I'm not going to make the decision on my own. It takes a village. It's going to be a lot of scouts, coaches, front office people, and you just have to determine where is it strong in free agency, which it typically is not for a quarterback.
Right.
And compare that to the draft, and what are you actually looking for? Are you looking for? I mean, everyone's looking for the franchise guy. Do you need a strong number two? Would you like a young, talented, developmental guy? So there's a lot that goes into it. And then does this quarterback fit what we're doing? Does he fit us, you know, from a character standpoint and off-field standpoint? So there's a lot that goes into it. Thankfully, I'm not the only, you know, I'm not going to make it on my own. You know, we have a lot of really good people to help me with that.
If there is a group decision and you feel like the pool of quarterbacks is talented enough, how do you approach that in the first round with quarterbacks?
One more time, I lost you for a second.
If you decide as an organization, okay, we want to draft a quarterback. We've decided to do it. What's your approach when you come to that collective decision when it comes to the draft?
Well, if you think the player is good enough to help you, you're going to take them no matter what position. And if that player is going to upgrade you at any position, you're going to take the player. And that's no different with quarterback. So, you know, you're always gonna take the best player if he fits what you're doing, you know, as a team, and he fits your vision. So,
yeah. Well, George, you called this team a sleeping giant. So, does that mean that you view this roster as just a few pieces away, or do you need some time to reshape it?
No, I think it. I don't know. You know, you never know if you're a few pieces away. You never want to think like that. I just think it's a young roster. It's an ascending roster. They have some good young pieces. And they're going to need more young pieces to try to get it to where it needs to go, and maybe a few veteran pieces. So I'm not going to project where we're going to be or how long it's going to take. I just think, you know, there are some good young pieces to this roster.
George Payton, the new general manager of the Broncos, is our guest. When it comes to, you know, George, we've been pretending to be you. That's what we do at Sports Talk Radio. We pretend to be general managers all the time.
We got the answers.
Sure. If you're ever in doubt, give us a holler. We'll let you know. But one of the things that we've talked about is, well, he's going to have a to-do list. Now, obviously, your to-do list is endless. But we did try to think of what are the top three things on your to-do list. So I'll ask you, what are the top three things on your to-do list?
Yes, my top three things are one, watch a lot of tape on the Denver Broncos. So I'm an expert. Right now, I wouldn't say I'm an expert. Number two, I'm going to meet with our scouts, our college and pro scouts. Number three, I'm going to meet with the coaches. And then number four, I'm going to meet with Rich Hurtado, you know, salary cap. And then we're going to come, you know, we're going to get a game plan for the off season. So hopefully that's not a cop-out answer, but really,
no,
you know, without doing a deep dive yet on this roster, I hate to give you, you know, a 1, 2, 3.
Well, how long do you think that will take? How long are you giving yourself to get those things done?
to give my 1, 2, 3. You know, once we're going to meet with the coaches next week, and I'll have done my my evaluations, and then I'm going to meet with the scouts the end of this week and this weekend. So you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I would like to think we have a game plan.
George, I was on the smaller side for offensive linemen. I was more athletic than I was powerful, so I'm well aware that drafting and free agency, it's as much about schematic fit as it is individual capabilities. So curious, do you influence the X's and O's with your coaches, or do you draft and go through free agency trying to fit your coach's scheme?
No, I think this is really important that the scouts are experts on what the coaches, what their schemes are, you know, and so we're on the same page with the offensive line coach. What are you looking for? You know, the receivers, what type of receivers do you want for your X, for your Z, you know, for your 5-tech, what are you looking for? So we need to become experts on exactly what they're looking for, so we're all on the same page. You know, if you're drafting players that don't fit your scheme, you're not going to build a team. You're going to have a hodgepodge of players that don't fit. So I think it's really important the coaches and the personnel staff are on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, I just don't think you have a chance to win.
The Stephon Diggs deal must have been incredibly complicated and difficult to figure out and go through. What's the biggest thing that you learned from being part of that?
You know, like all deals, I mean, you just, you know, you have your value, you know, for a position or a player, and you know, you're not gonna trade or move someone unless you get your proper value, and that's kind of what it was with Stephon, you know, and with Buffalo. That was a win-win deal, and that's what deals are supposed to be, win-win. And dealing with Brandon Bean, I mean, he's a first-class GM, and so we felt like we had a deal that was win for both sides, and I think it's worked out for both sides.
Do you anticipate the Deshaun Watson situation will be a similar type of thing for whatever teams are involved with it?
You know, I'm not able to comment on the, you know, players and other teams. You know, otherwise I'll get fined in my first 5 days in the job.
well, leave it to us to put you on the spot.
You can't blame me for trying. George, come on.
I always like that.
Right. Any early thoughts on how aggressive you want to be in trying to retain Justin Simmons?
Listen, we're not going to let our good young players go. I mean, that let me just tell you that. I think he's a really good player. We got to try to figure out how to keep him. I've admired him from afar, really talented, and I can't wait to talk to him and meet him.
How concerned are you about the latest news with Von Miller?
You know, I'm kind of late to that. You know, I know we're, as an organization, we're still gathering information. I know, you know, Von is an iconic player here, and you know, I know he's revered in the community, and, you know, that's what I know, and I know we're just gathering facts on you know, this other stuff, you know.
A successful year for the Denver Broncos next year will look like what?
Well, I just think if we make strides, that's hard to answer, you know, knowing what I know and knowing what I don't know, which is a lot. Right. And, you know, I could probably answer that as we get closer to camp. You never know, man. Even if you know your team, you think you have a good team, and then you have a bunch of injuries and you get wiped out. And so it's hard to predict. Listen, I'm just excited to see this young group of players develop, you know, with this staff. And really, that's all I can tell you.
Well, George, we know you've only been here for 4 days, and we put you on the spot here quickly on some rapid-fire questions. We're grateful for your time. I will just leave you with a little piece of advice from me.
Oh?
Forget the speed and go after the hogs, all right?
I like that. All right, let's try to pull up that workout tape. I'll call my guys at the Vikings.
No, don't do it. It was obviously bad.
All right, a couple easy ones. Do you sit on a bucket, or do you need a house to ice fish? Like, what's your deal?
I'm pretty embarrassed. I've never ice fished.
There you go. No, that is actually the right answer. It's a dumb thing anyways. I just don't want to insult somebody from Minnesota. It's stupid, so why would you even bother with it?
Yep, exactly.
Does your family ski, snowboard, that sort of thing?
They do. My daughter loves skiing. My son snowboards. Wife's a skier, so they're gonna be fired up to get here.
All right. Well, it's good because they'll have some hobbies because they'll never see you. All right.
Okay.
Well, listen, hey George, man, we are so excited. It's no lie. We've been to the mountaintop and we've been in the valley. And, boy, as a Broncos fan base, we are ready to make that climb again. And I have never seen somebody come to this organization in my 21 years here in Denver that people have had more good things to say about than you.
Yep.
So, and that definitely sounds like I'm blowing some sunshine, but it's also true at the same time. So I just want to say congratulations to you and your family and Tyler.
We're grateful to have you around.
Yeah, way to make sure you didn't sign Tyler. That was a good decision as well. His best years were in front of him.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate you guys. Great talking with you.
George Payton.
That was great, man.
Why not just ask him what his favorite color is?
Oh, easy, easy. Man, we got some people saying we got him on the ropes. We got some people saying it was too easy. I thought it was perfect. I thought we asked some good, legit questions in there, questions that he wasn't going to get asked across the street. I can promise you that. I'm actually grateful that the Broncos allowed us to have him on air. I mean, they had to know that we were going to ask some tougher questions.
Yeah, I see some, you know, how does Vaughn fit from a character standpoint? Well, what's he supposed to say to that?
Yeah, man, he's in a tough situation responding to Vaughn right out the gates. I mean, he's on the job for 2 days, and that the news breaks about iconic player on your football team.
What'd you think about all that stuff?
You know, obviously it's a ugly situation that is confusing, tough to even comment on, because as soon as we hear about the investigation and the allegations, then I'm drawing a blank on the woman's name.
Megan Denise,
I believe. Well, yeah. Then Megan puts out her statement saying Vaughn never put his hands on her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it's a really tough, ugly situation that, man, it'll be interesting to see what happens from it. It's hard to even comment on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
it's not a great start with your new GM. I know that much.
Yeah.
In a year in which they had to make a decision on you regardless, no matter what, a decision was coming, and it had nothing to do with off-the-field stuff. Unfortunately, it's just not a great fresh start with the new guy.
I had to read between the lines of everything going on, I would say Justin Simmons is going to get paid.
Yeah. Well, he just pretty much told us that.
Okay. My opinion, unless something else horrible breaks with Vaughn, unless it really goes in some terrible direction, my guess is they are going to draw a certain line in the sand for finances, and that's going to be that.
And it's not going to be related to anything going on. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it'll be directly related to it, but I don't think this helps Vaughn. And I think Vaughn has created a situation for people to certainly ask some reasonable questions. So, I think Vaughn still has years that he wants to play football, which could be in jeopardy, depending if things go sideways or sour, that could be just done.
Well, if the investigation doesn't go anywhere and no charges are pressed against them, it's likely not going to have any effect. You know, if the investigation moves forward and they actually press charges, I think it will affect things.
Yeah, dramatically. I think the Broncos were always going to do this with Vaughn, though. I think they were always going to draw some sort of line like, this is it. I mean, it happened with Peyton. I mean, it happens to guys all the time. Vaughn's not different in terms of that. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So now what that number becomes or is if I don't know. And we'll really seriously never know because we don't know what it was going to be one way or the other. We'll see how it plays out, but clearly I think that's where they're going to go. And if they just got to move on from Vaughn, they will. I think that's the case. With Drew, Drew's tricky because there are so many different things you could try or look into. Now, I'm reading Kliss, and George Payton actually called Drew yesterday and talked with him. That's cool. We speculate about that. Like, who would you call? Who wouldn't you call?
Yeah, of course your quarterback's going to be on that list. That's good that he did that. That was the right thing to do. Miller, I wonder if he's talked to Von Miller, actually.
I wouldn't bother. Well, we talked about this. We said who we would talk.
Von would have been on that list beforehand. I think now this complicates things. But regardless of whether you're going to move on from Von or not, you would have made that phone call just because of who he is and what he's meant to the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how that phone call goes now. A little trickier, isn't it?
Well, he probably doesn't make it until he finds out more about the situation.
I agree. And And I'm sure the Broncos are doing their own, you know, internal investigation too. But he did pick up the phone and talk to Drew. If I had to guess at quarterback, and by the way, if you want to get a question in from Mount Palumbus Speak, go for it, 303-713-1043. We'll get to that after 5:30. But if I had to guess, my guess is they will look into everything. I feel that George Payton will look into everything. They'll explore every angle. I believe they will have a draftable quarterback if they can get there. It's just not as strong of a year as 2018 was. I really just don't. I think there's three guys that have everybody's attention, and then it's a wild roll of the dice after that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, once Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Trevor Lawrence are off the board, there is a big-time drop-off.
Now,
probably not going to be anybody at number nine that is worth selecting at that point.
If you didn't have a quarterback at all, if you just flat-out didn't have a quarterback, then all right. And that is the way the Broncos were in 2018.
Oof.
They just didn't have one.
Oh, man, when you say it like that, though, D-Mac, I would push back and I would say, how many teams are in a worse quarterback situation than us?
I think a lot of teams are in a worse situation
than us.
Okay,
name them.
I think the Steelers are in a worse situation than us.
What?
Ben's garbage.
But you know you can get another
Ben's
year
done.
Or two out of him. It doesn't matter.
You're hanging on for dear life. You got to move.
You're not desperate for next year. Regardless, I'll put as much as you want on this, that Ben Roethlisberger will be the starting quarterback next year.
I'll put a coffee on that.
All right.
Nah, I'm going to owe you one here.
Right.
About a week. It looked good, though, for Joe Brady.
It did.
I mean, it's not over. But you're hearing rumors about freaking McDaniels interviewing in Philadelphia.
Gosh, who would hire him at this point?
And if Joe Brady was going to get hired, he would have been hired at this point.
Right. He's been available.
McDaniels, here's why they hire McDaniels. Here's why Jeffrey Lurie hires McDaniels. Because I have, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, invested a ridiculous amount of money into Carson Wentz, and I got to see that happen. And I just fired Doug Peterson, who won me a Super Bowl. Never mind, just got my team there, won me a Super Bowl. I still blew him out because we could not see eye to eye about the quarterback.
Well, that's a fair point. They definitely chose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson, 100%. They chose Carson Wentz.
Yeah, because they've got so much money tied up into him. And they figure, you know what? This is ridiculous. Here's who we're paying. Peterson's not going to work with them. Listen, again, you go through, well, why did you draft Jalen Hurts in the second round? Because only idiots draft quarterbacks in the second or third round. It's so dumb to do.
I want to go back to the question, though. What teams have a worse quarterback situation than us? I bet you can't come up more than two or three.
Well, I think the Steelers do because I don't think they really have a quarterback right now.
Oh, wow.
I think the Saints do. They don't have a quarterback right now.
No, they've got Taysom Hill and James Winston right there. That's not desperate.
Okay. Oh, so you would take... All right, hold on a second. You would take Jameis Winston over Drew Locke?
I think they're going to take Taysom Hill. They've already made it clear that they want it to be Taysom Hill.
You would take Taysom Hill over Drew Locke?
I'm talking about what the Saints situation is. Sean Payton believes in Taysom Hill. I'm not saying I would choose Taysom Hill. No.
You know, I did see Jameis Winston. I saw him throw one pass. You can't tell me you didn't have something in the back of your mind about how he would look with the Broncos.
D-Mac, I desperately wanted to see Jameis Winston play football this year. I really wanted to because there's not very many guys that are going to be available, and Jameis Winston is at the top of the intrigue list. If he could improve on the turnovers, boy, I mean, he would be a very tempting option.
You got a question for Tyler, Mount Palumbus Peak. We got that coming up next.